Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and happening here in New York today, the National Audubon Society's 10th Annual Women in Conservation Luncheon and Rachel Carson Awards, named after that seminal founder of the modern environmental movement. The two honorees this year, philanthropist and conservationist Marian Haskell, and posthumously, with a special memorial tribute award, First Lady Lady Bird Johnson, wife of President Lyndon Johnson, in the White House 1963-68. So let's talk some history now with the Johnson's daughter and former First Lady of Virginia, Lynda Johnson Robb. She'll be accepting the award on behalf of her mother today. She's here with the founding chair of the Women in Conservation Luncheon, Allison Rockefeller. Ms. Rockefeller, Ms. Robb, an honor to have both of you on the show. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Rockefeller, I'll start with you. Why a Women in Conservation Award in the first place? Are women's contributions to the environment different from or underappreciated compared to men's?
Well, American conservation is often associated with the great men of the turn of the century, including Theodore Roosevelt and John Muir, and the poet John Burroughs. But women have had an extraordinary role even since that time, and so an award recognizing their contributions has been important to all women that are working in the environment today.
And why, Ms. Rockefeller, 45 years after the White House, former First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson?
Well, Lady Bird Johnson is, I think, a special figure whom so many people admire and appreciate. And she actually is the first First Lady that chose conservation as her cause. She grew up loving nature and felt that the heartstrings of her life were there. And so when she got to Washington, she put that to work.
Ms. Robb, your mother is usually remembered, I think it's accurate to say, as an environmental first lady for her highway beautification. Wonderful, but such a tame, uncontroversial project compared to Rachel Carson exposing and fighting the harmful effects of DDT in the same decade. Was your mother's highway initiative part of a larger environmental consciousness that she had?
Oh, absolutely. And Brian, if you think that what we did was not controversial, you should talk to the billboard people and the people that we asked to please screen their junkyards. I mean, there were plenty of things that were controversial. I know that the 60s is a long time ago, but it's still something that we need to focus on. These are issues that are not complete. We have to constantly work on this. And just to be to bring you up to what today, in the last month, there was an article in the Washington Post about a large dig that they're doing. And they have a machine that is basically going to drill under the Potomac and the Anacostia River so that they can find a way to capture sewer water that flows into the Potomac. And the workmen named this machine Lady Bird because they said in the paper that the workmen said because she was such an environmentalist. And I have to laugh, and I know Mother would be pleased because she was a very practical woman. And clean water was something that was very important to her. And she of course, urged my father to make sure that we work to clean up the Potomac. And she is continuing. Her legacy goes on with these construction people who nicknamed this great machine Lady Bird.
That's a fabulous story. So I want to get Rachel Carson's voice into this, even if just for 24 seconds. And if I've got my history right, Silent Spring came out in 1962, exposing the ravaging effects of the pesticide DDT on birds and ecosystems. And here is Rachel Carson talking about that from a 1963 CBS documentary special.
These sprays, dust, and aerosols are now applied almost universally to farms, gardens, forests, and homes. Non-selective chemicals that have the power to kill every insect, the good and the bad, to still the song of birds and the leaping of fish in the streams. All this, though the intended target may be only a few weeds or insects.
Now that was a CBS documentary for those who heard our previous segment, The Silent Spring of Rachel Carson from CBS Reports, 1963. Ms. Rockefeller, then President Kennedy read the book, as I understand the history, and appointed a commission to study the issue. The commission report came in the next year, by which time Kennedy had already been killed and LBJ was president. Is that timeline correct? Is that something you've looked into?
Yes, he was very affected. He shared, Rachel Carson was a marine biologist, and they both shared a love of the sea, John Kennedy and Rachel Carson. He did appoint the first presidential commission after Silent Spring was released. She had the remarkable ability to write and be a great scientist, and this book changed the world. She was highly vilified for what she said. There were large industries in the United States that were against her, including chemical industries, naturally. And she, though, found a bond with President Kennedy. Both of them were dead within 2 years. She died prematurely of cancer at age 56.
So, Ms. Johnson-Robb, you would have been about 19 years old then, I guess, when your father became president. Did this all crack your consciousness at the time? The Rachel Carson DDT report?
Well, my mother was always very interested in preserving our natural beauty. And if you kill the birds with the DDT, if you kill the plants, then our whole ecosystem is in danger. And there's so many different ways that we can affect for the better in our actions. I mean, for instance, Mother, at age 70, started this the National Wildflower Research Center because she recognized that there are things that we should be doing now that would make life better for our grandchildren, or at least not blight the land. And so, for instance, just an example of something the Wildflower Center has done recently, it has developed a native lawn grass mix called Habiturf, which is drought resistant. And if you live in the Southwest, that's very important because we need plants that need less water, less fertilizer, that you can mow, and we want to use our native things. These are very, very important things, the use of water and the ways that we keep alive our plants. And so I think that it's a constant thing we have to work on, and that Allison is to be greatly saluted that she has kept this celebration going for 10 years and honoring women who are working on this. And you asked earlier about, you mentioned the men, but it's one of the funny things that we do. We speak of Mother Nature. And so I think once in a while to tip the hat to the women is certainly acceptable, although I'm crazy about Teddy Roosevelt.
And my guest, Linda Johnson-Robb, who was just speaking, daughter of President and Lady Bird Johnson, and accepting an award on behalf of her mother today, the 10th Annual Rachel Carson Women in Conservation Award being presented by Allison Rockefeller, founding chair of the Rachel Carson Awards Council of the National Audubon Society. And Ms. Rockefeller, I see you have historian Douglas Brinkley speaking at your event, who has written a book about Rachel Carson in her time. Did you read it, and does it include lobbying or other interaction with the Johnson administration?
Well, that is a definitive book, it seems to me, coming out. I have not yet read it because it's not yet out. It will be out this fall. And it's a lot of fun because he's the first man we've allowed to speak to the audience in 10 years. If Teddy Roosevelt himself were here, we'd have to put him through his paces.
But, Ms. Robb, you never heard your parents, or did you talk about Rachel Carson or this particular issue?
Well, of course, my mother was very interested in it because she was interested in the environment. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that she ever knew
Rachel Carson ever spoke to her about it, but certainly everybody read the book.
And the big environmental laws, the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, creation of the EPA, et cetera, were passed in the Nixon years, hard to imagine with today's Republicans. But was there a first act taking place with President Johnson?
There was, in fact. You know, the Johnson administration passed more than 200 environmental laws, which are the greatest number of environmental laws in American history. And, in fact, the Clean Air Act of 1964 is the first auto emissions regulations, and the Wilderness Act of 1964 that also set into motion millions and millions of acres of land preserved in Alaska. They're extraordinary laws that were passed under Linda's father and mother.
And, of course, it helped that we had a Congress, and, of course, that's what President Nixon inherited, was a Congress that was interested and in the environment and was willing to spend the money, to take the time to study the issues. And as Allison said, we did have more than 70, and their water quality, as I specifically remember, Daddy talked about cleaning up the Potomac River so we would have fish in it.
There you go.
But as you know, things take time.
I'm sorry. One thing I would love to say here is that conservation and the environment has no party. The fact that President Nixon did pass and establish many laws and establish the EPA is very important. This country needs to understand that we're talking about our environment, our country, the legacy of this beauty. And all of us, regardless of party, need to support the environment.
Ms. Robin.
Absolutely. And the Wildflower Center has created a blackland prairie in the middle of Dallas at the George W. Bush Presidential Center. We did that for them. We're very much bipartisan.
And the Audubon Society, Ms. Rockefeller, is traditionally thought of, I think, by many people as, you know, certainly associated with birds, but as creator of the field guides, et cetera. But is it a broader and more politically activist environmental organization now?
Well, it's wonderful. Audubon, National Audubon, was actually started by four women a century ago, really at the time of Theodore Roosevelt. In Boston, they organized a network of 900 women. They were really outraged against the wholesale slaughter of birds for their plumage in fashionable hats of the day. These were fashionable ladies who found that offensive, and they organized individuals who, in fact, would be consumers of such hats to not purchase them. The society today concentrates on birds, but all wildlife, and is very interested in the biodiversity of all ecosystems. It's 500,000 members and 500 chapters across the country. So it's a remarkable organization today, and those four ladies, I'm sure, would be very proud of the work that they started.
Ms. Robb, before you go, if I might, I know because I've read elsewhere where you've talked about it, that you're very proud of your father for Medicare and Medicaid. Even in his day of an all-Democrat Congress, that was no slam dunk politically, was it?
No, it certainly wasn't. And the Beautification Act that Daddy dedicated to Mother was something we had to work on. We worked with Republicans and Democrats in all stripes of Democrats and all stripes of Republicans. And of course, the Rockefellers were wonderful supporters. So it was not an issue that was just one party.
Many frustrated Democrats today say if only President Obama would crack heads like LBJ did to get things like cap and trade on the environment and other things that haven't gone through Congress. You must hear that refrain. What do you think about making that comparison?
Well, I think comparisons are things that people put together to make somebody else look bad. And I'm not in that business. And the environment, as Allison has said,
is nonpartisan, and I'm sure that on lots of issues there are differences of opinion, and you have to believe that the Congress is going to try to do what they think is best for the country. And that's what we have to do. We have to urge everybody to look away from just their parochial issues to what is best for the country. And we want to make this country a better place for our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. And that's what the Audubon Society is trying to do, to leave the earth a better place.
And Ms. Rockefeller, if I could ask you one legacy question before you go. If I've got the relationship right, Governor Nelson Rockefeller's grandson is your husband, right?
That's right.
And it seems in the media today, the name Rockefeller is used in two ways, as in Rockefeller Republican, which means an extinct form of moderate politician, or Rockefeller drug laws, which means draconian ruiner of lives for people who committed small crimes. Is there a consciousness in the family of needing to reclaim a fuller legacy in any way?
A fuller legacy of which issue?
Of Nelson Rockefeller.
Well, I think the family is terribly proud of the governor and the vice president, and I think that the extremism that we display in the country at large and in Washington in particular is concerning to the family. There is a moderation that has been preached since the beginning of man, and I think that I don't believe that that moderation is being reflected in our leaders today. The thing we have to remember is that this is a nation that all of us have benefited greatly from the resources of the nation. We have privileges through business and through education, and there's no single sector that's the villain. We have to work together and understand that the natural environment supports all of us and all of it. And I think Nelson Rockefeller, and I am very proud that my children are his great-grandchildren, understood that and tried to be holistic in an approach.
Allison Rockefeller, founding chair of the Rachel Carson Awards Council of the National Audubon Society, and Linda Johnson Robb, daughter of Lyndon Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson, accepting one of those Rachel Carson Awards today in the 10th annual Women in Conservation Luncheon from the National Audubon Society, accepting that award on behalf of her mother. Thank you so much for both of you coming on and talking history and a little current stuff with us, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, the federal prosecutor in New York, Preet Bharara, unveils a gigantic money laundering indictment in the trendy new world of online currency exchange. This is fascinating. We'll explain it.